Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A New York City jury has begun deliberations in the sex trafficking and perjury trial of Ghislaine Maxwell following weeks of testimony. Defense attorneys maintain she is a government scapegoat for crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutors called her a sophisticated predator. President Biden will address the nation today as a nervous country awaits leadership on the reemergence of COVID-19. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki from the lectern.
For those who choose to remain unvaccinated, he'll issue a stark warning and make clear unvaccinated individuals will continue to drive hospitalizations and deaths.
White House COVID response team member Jeff Zients.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death.
Biden is scheduled to talk at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. It should be noted one person has been confirmed to have died from the Omicron variant. He was from the Houston, Texas area. Merry Christmas week to you and your family. We are USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The 12 Christian missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti have escaped their captors.
Officials say the group of 12 Christian missionaries who recently made it back to the United States actually escaped captivity. They were not freed by members of the Haitian gang. Christian Aid Ministries saying the adults of the group decided to flee and made a daring escape. The gang originally kidnapped 17 missionaries on October 16th after the group had visited an orphanage near the capital city of Port-au-Prince. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The National Hockey League announced it's briefly postponing all NHL games from Wednesday in response to the COVID-19 across America. Games will start back up after Christmas on December 27th. The Food and Drug Administration on Monday greenlit the first injectable treatment for HIV pre-exposure prevention. Apretude is said to reduce the risk of acquired HIV. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
A day after Democrat Senator Joe Manchin and all 50 Republican senators shot down President Biden's massive social spending bill, Mr. Manchin tells Democrats to go back to the drawing board.
Joe Manchin has some advice for fellow Democrats. Rebuild, build back better, and you might still get my vote. One day after sinking President Joe Biden's signature social and climate spending legislation, Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, laid out a path forward that could take months and still fail. He wants the legislation to go through Senate committees and focus on rolling back the 2017 Trump tax cuts. He also wants Democrats to stop trying to force him into compliance.
I'm not blaming anybody. I knew where they were, and I knew what they could and could not do. They just never realized it because they figure, surely to God we can move one person. Surely we can badger and beat one person up. Surely we can get enough protesters to make that person uncomfortable enough. They'll just say, okay, I'll vote for anything. Just quit. Well, guess what? I'm from West Virginia. I'm not from where they're from. And they can just beat the living crap out of people and think they'll be submissive. Period.
The bill in the House passed on a party line vote via budget reconciliation, but Manchin said that's not going to happen again without the committee process. From the USA Radio News, West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
The Hubble Space Telescope's successor is a big-time step up in technology. On Friday, the 7-ton James Webb Telescope is scheduled to launch Friday. It will be set 1 million miles from Earth as it peers into the heavens. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. With us right now, and he's back with us, and I'm happy to have Roy Beck back with us. He is the founder of Numbers USA, the president and CEO. Talk about his new book, Back of the Hiring Line, A 200-Year History of Immigration Surges, Employer Bias, and the Depression of Black Wealth. Roy, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Roy, I'm especially excited to have some additional time with you, because in our first conversation, I could tell that there was so much more to talk about regarding immigration. I thought maybe it might be prudent and advantageous for our listeners if we kind of did a 30,000, you know, foot, you know, viewpoint above the horizon here to see, you know, and take a look at immigration as it is today and how we got here.
Yeah, you know, there are many ways to look at our immigration policy, our immigration history. My book takes one aspect, which is its effect on the descendants of slaves, actually on freed slaves and the descendants of slaves right on through the day. What's interesting about it is that it's like a lot of, I think, good movies that will take a look at something, say, like the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but they'll do it through just maybe one family or one group of right. people. And what we see through this history on the effects on the freed slaves and then the descendants of slaves is what was happening to all Americans at the same time. And I do write about that. And what we have seen is that every time that immigration gets into a surge, and it's mass immigration, and I use mass immigration, most people do, meaning basically uncontrolled immigration. But when you have mass immigration, the inequality among workers of all races in this country rises. Inequality rises during mass immigration. Secondly, the wages, real wages, of working Americans are depressed, or at least are stalled.
Right.
Now, every time in our history when immigration has been moderated, inequality reduces. The people at the bottom gain on the people in the middle. The people in the middle gain on the people at the top. And there is a really an overall improvement in the economic situation for the average American. Now, this is something that you can see anecdotally through the stories that I go through to the book that happens with all Americans. But it's also something that the great economic historians of our time have found in their studies. So, you know, their anecdotes make a difference. So it's very important to see the real life way
exactly.
that things happen. But it's also important to get the data. And the data shows that that's what happens, is that the law of supply and demand works. Now, the law of supply and demand is sounds like kind of a dull topic, but when you put it into the lives of real people and generations after generation of Americans, it's quite a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk specifically. You said that when it's moderated, it gives us a certain result. And when it's opened up and we flood the gates here, so to speak, then you have a causal relationship there. Give us some specifics so people can understand that what you're sharing with us. I mean, it's backed by anecdote, but it's also backed by data.
Yes, and so this history is that it starts in 1820 and then goes through 2020. That's the 200 years. And the one thing that's probably helpful to know about our immigration history is that there was very little immigration before 1820. The estimates are maybe 6,000 a year. That's pretty small.
Right.
But in the 1820s, and of course in 1820, the government actually started counting and keeping track. But in the 1820s, it rose pretty quickly. But I want to give you your specific, starting with the end of the Civil War. And this is where I think a lot of the problems of today, the racial recriminations that go on, kind of miss the boat. And I'm going to be a little controversial here because, you know, the New York Times with its 1619 Project basically says, you know, all of our problems are linked to slavery. Well, I don't think any of us think that slavery was a good thing and that we're glad it was ended and it needed to be ended and mm-hmm. You know, all of that. But the deal is that the history that I found suggests that slavery is really not much of the reason for the big racial disparities of today. It's going to take a little bit of time here before we get to see, for me to have time to show you and your audience why I think that's true. But at the end of the Civil War, of course, nearly all African Americans were in the South, over 90%, mm-hmm. and had been slaves, had been denied education, been denied most marketable skills. They were agrarian, and of course had been denied all kinds of ability for socialization within the culture, and all of a sudden they're free. But at the same time, the industries of the North were really opening up. There was an industrial revolution, a huge expansion, and the cities of the North needed extra labor. And many of the freed slaves immediately started moving north, which is a very, very adventuresome thing to do when you think about
sure.
it.
Right.
And what I found in the histories of some of these even smaller cities like Steelton, Pennsylvania, was that these freed slaves very quickly got jobs in the steel factories and other industries. They rose up the ladder. They became foremen. They established, this is between 1865 and 1880, they established their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
In Cleveland, they said about a third of all African-Americans in Cleveland around 1880 were skilled workers. Some of them became members mm-hmm. of the police force. Even some of the cities, freed slaves were elected to the city council. Now that's really phenomenal. This happened in the first 15 years after the Civil War. It suggests that that America was not this overwhelmingly racist place in which a person who was black couldn't succeed. They were succeeding.
Yes,
but then, around 1880, a bunch of things happened that opened up the immigration to a whole new level. And it's generally, historians call that the Great Wave. The Great Wave of immigration lasted basically from 1880 to 1924. And during that first decade, the 1880s, the migration of freed slaves from the South stopped. The movement up the jobs ladders in the North stopped. And then after a while, by the 90s, 1890s, these many African-Americans began moving back to the South.
Roy, I'm sorry. We've got to go to a quick break. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. We've got more from Roy Beck and his new book, Back of the Hiring Line. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
With you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern,
6 to 9 Pacific. Roy Beck is with us. He is the founder, president, CEO of Numbers USA. His enlightening book, Back of the Hiring Line, gives us, I think, a brilliant perspective as to how we got where we are today and how racism really came about, and that, you'd be surprised. I mean, this is quite the counter-narrative to the 1619 Project and the theory there, because it cannot stand against the truth and the reality of what was happening in our country, as Roy was pointing out earlier, 15 years after the Civil War, I mean, from 1865 to 1880, you've got black Americans thriving and finding great jobs, even elected city council positions. I mean, in a short period of time, which you think, when you think about this, Roy, I mean, this is incredible upward movement in a short period of time by free-thinking people who had been dealing with that issue of, well, the Constitution says that all people are created equal. And it appears that a good number of Americans, you know, believed in that and supported it, particularly in the North. And this started to be realized until you had this great wave of immigration coming in. And that's what you were explaining to us. So pick it up from there.
Thank you for that excellent summary there. And it is exciting because there are many people who wonder. They're not necessarily bigoted, but they just wonder. It's like, well, maybe something about the people who survived slavery and all, maybe they just didn't have the ability to thrive in the American economy. But see, that's not the case. We found with so many things against them, the free slaves that moved north were able to thrive, but then they had to compete with these massive volume of immigration from Europe, all over Europe. And the industries began sending ships, their own ships sometimes, to bring back. It was just shipload after shipload. And most employers, they preferred to hire the extremely eager immigrants coming from another country over the lesser skilled, lesser educated American, native born Americans, and particularly the black Americans. And that's where we get this racial discrimination that happened. And that's why I call the book Back of the Hiring Line. Is generally African Americans did get put, and still do get put, kind of the back of the hiring line. And I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's just what happens.
Right.
When the line is short, being at the back of the line is not so bad. But if you fill that line up with immigrants and the businesses, the employers in general, put the immigrants ahead, that's where your problems come. Well, anyway, from 1880.
But just a minute here, because you bring up a good point here. Is it just because they're immigrants, or is it a bit of a meritocracy where these business leaders, I mean, you're not going to hire somebody who can't do the job, but if you have somebody coming in and, as you say, they're eager and they've demonstrated acumen and a desire to learn and to add to the benefit of that company. Well, let's face it, small businesses, big businesses, for the most part, are going to decide on people who are going to help them, perform their mission, are they not?
Well, I think there's a lot there. And here's the thing, is that generally the immigrants who are making major changes in their lives, taking major risk, especially back at that point, major risk,
right,
there's a tremendous amount of incentive. And so it can be very difficult for some of our more vulnerable members of our national society of any race to compete directly with that energy enthusiasm of the new immigrants. The question that I raise, and I'll get back to this great way, but the question I raise in the book is that for the individual employer, it may make sense to hire the immigrant over the native-born American that you had the choice of hiring, but does it make sense for the country as a whole? Because because what happens is that you now are, especially in today's time, you are making more and more of your native-born people wards of the state.
Exactly.
So the cost to the society as a whole is much worse than if all the employers are forced to hire from within the national community. The other thing is infrastructure. If you're hiring from within your own people, those people already are here. The infrastructure it takes, whether it's sewage treatment systems, water systems, mm-hmm. highways, etc., they're already there for that population. But if you're bringing in new workers, that requires new infrastructure. So again, that's an extra cost to society. Well, mm-hmm. here's
and at that time, just a minute, because again, you laid this out. This is really so valuable here. And so the question is, who's watching the store here? Who's watching all these things happening? Or are we discovering this, all these years later? There was nobody watching to say, hey, we had to anticipate this this need for an advanced infrastructure based on the current numbers.
Well, that's a great question, because it's like, are we just now finding this out? No, and that's part of the great thing about this story in the book, is to see all of the folks that back in the 1880s, certainly the 1890s and forward, who saw what was happening. And I quote mostly African-American leaders, people like Frederick mm-hmm. Douglass, Booker
yes.
T. Washington, mm-hmm. Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois, one after another, these national African-American leaders and African-American newspapers were describing immigration, the effect of mass immigration, the way that organizations like my own, Numbers USA, describe it today. In other words, they could see exactly how the law of supply and demand was working. And so it wasn't a case of where the 1619 Project would suggest that, well, if African Americans were being hurt, it was because of the white racism, the racism of the white population that wanted to hurt, wanted to keep down the descendants of slavery. But actually, that wasn't the case. About two dozen times, Congress's the House of Representatives or the Senate voted to reduce and moderate the Great Wave. But in each case, either they didn't do it the same year or President Grover Cleveland vetoed mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. the reduction. President
yes.
Taft vetoed the reduction, and President Wilson twice vetoed the reduction. So over about a 27-year period, there were all these attempts by Congress. That means that the population, the voters, primarily white mm-hmm. voters,
right.
were repeatedly sending a majority of members of Congress to bring that down. Now, there's no indication that there was some widespread concern about how it was affecting the descendants of slavery. More than anything, they were voting because of the way that mass immigration was hurting their economic situation, it was self-interest. But the point is that mass immigration was never something that the broad public supported. It was something that was carried out primarily because of two increasingly strong blocks. One of them was the robber barons and their desire to have the cheaper and cheaper labor that they could get through the immigration. And also, that also enabled the southern agriculture industry to keep the freed slaves and their descendants in the South in rather poor conditions. And the other major thing was you got these larger and larger populations of immigrant groups in the cities, so that the urban ethnic bosses developed these big political power. And those two things, the robber barons and the ethnic political bosses in the urban areas, were the ones that were able to persuade, put the pressure on these presidents to keep the Great Wave going. But most everybody, certainly most humanitarian folks, including the AFL, Samuel mm-hmm. Gompers, himself an immigrant, fought like crazy to reduce immigration because right. of how it hurt his working the working men in his unions. So they did know your question about that.
I'll tell you what. We've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. We've got more from Roy Beck after this. Stay with us.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country,
techno or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A New York City jury has begun deliberations in the sex trafficking and perjury trial of Ghislaine Maxwell following weeks of testimony. Defense attorneys maintain she is a government scapegoat for crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutors called her a sophisticated predator. President Biden will address the nation today as a nervous country awaits leadership on the reemergence of COVID-19. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki from the lectern.
For those who choose to remain unvaccinated, he'll issue a stark warning and make clear unvaccinated individuals will continue to drive hospitalizations and deaths.
White House COVID response team member Jeff Zients.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death.
Biden is scheduled to talk at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. It should be noted one person has been confirmed to have died from the Omicron variant. He was from the Houston, Texas area. Merry Christmas week to you and your family. We are USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the tax doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Just about 20 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. We're at the back of the hiring line, a 200-year history of immigration surges, employer bias, and depression of black wealth with Roy Beck, the founder, president, and CEO of Numbers USA. Roy, just to summarize where we were at before in terms of these dynamic tensions of what happened after 1924 in the country, and what really had an impact on the country's idea of immigration. And as you pointed out, it was this wave of immigration that came in. And like anything that happens, you get people that can be for or against because of their own personal interests instead of a holistic one that would be win-win for all concerned. Is that where we're at?
Oh, absolutely. And you had mentioned before the break, why would these immigrant bosses, these immigrant political bosses, continue to be pushing for this high immigration when actually the recent immigrants that are already in the country were being hurt right along with the native-born Americans by having more? And the answer was that they were looking for political power. They wanted more people of their own language, their own culture, because their feeling was they could build up their political power. And so they pushed for high immigration no matter who was hurt. And in the end, though, basically every group in America, every ethnic group, and it was the progressives as well as the conservatives. It was the Protestant reformers, all the unions. They finally fought through and got the immigration reduced in 1924. But there was a key thing that was different then than what's happening now. Because basically, I think your listeners are hearing that almost all the ingredients of the damage in the Great Wave and why it kept going are present today. It's the same groups that are keeping mass immigration going. It's the cheap labor employers, and I'm not saying all or even most employers are pushing that, but there's enough of the lobby. And the other one is the ethnic bosses, the immigrant groups that, in which you've got people who are, want to grow more power by bringing more people in from their country, no matter how much it hurts the people from their country that are already here. That's the same. Why have we been, for 40 years, we've been running the same kind of great wave here, depressing wages, driving inequality, which is one of the big reasons driving the civil unrest in this country.
Exactly.
But what happened?
Yeah, you're creating a greater class of have-nots. I mean, you can see it happening then, right, in the 1920s, and you see that this lower class is being developed, and they're being rejected and set aside, as you say, for people that are going to serve the interests of those that want cheaper labor or those who are ethnic bosses who want more of their own kind. I mean, to the degree here, Roy, interestingly enough, that these ethnic bosses are bringing people regardless of their philosophy, and what do they care about a constitutional republic?
This is what happens whenever just personal greed is what is driving your policy. And what saved the country in 1924 was a very unfortunate thing that happened, and that was World War One.
I was going to say World War One, exactly. Yeah.
And what happened in World War One is that for 4 years, the ships could not get through with the immigrants. And so immigration was cut way back. And what the country discovered was that it had all the people it needed to get the work done. The wages increased. Tremendous gains for the African American population, and it was the beginning of what's called not the Great Wave, which is foreign immigration, but the Great Migration of blacks from the South. And basically, when people moved from the South to the West or the North, they had tremendous improvement in the wages. And as they moved out of the South, labor markets tightened in the South, and the wages improved in the South, not just for blacks, but also for the poor whites as well. So you learn, they could see wonderful things happened during World War One. So when the war was over, mass immigration began again, and immediately African Americans were right at the front saying, listen, we've seen what can happen for low immigration. We want that back.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Congress voted to cut legal immigration by about two-thirds in 1924, there was such immediate improvement in the lives of African Americans that W.E.B. Du Bois, who was the founder of the NAACP and certainly one of the great liberal gurus, African American liberal gurus, Du Bois said in 1929, the stopping of the importing of cheap white labor on any terms has been the economic salvation of American black labor. And that was the opinion of the black elite and the black activists all the way up through the 1960s. And for 40 years, we had relatively low moderated immigration. And that was the period of history in which all workers of all races that were more at the bottom of the ladders had tremendous improvements in their wages relative to everybody else. Everybody actually did better, but the people at the bottom did the best in terms of their improvement.
And when you consider the political parties here, Republicans and Democrats, you know, at the end of the day, who was pushing what?
Well, in the early years, it was the Republican Party that was trying to champion the needs of the African Americans, and it was in 1924. Well, first of all, let's say one of those presidents that vetoed the laws to moderate immigration was a Republican. Two of them were Democrats. And it was a Republican. Calvin Coolidge is the one that gladly, enthusiastically signed the 1924 law, which was flawed. It had some problems, but the most important thing was it cut the numbers. But it was the Both parties were guilty in the 1960s of restarting mass immigration, but it was primarily driven by the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason I ask this is that there, you know, we talk about infrastructure and you know, that has such a broad meaning. And there is an aspect, there's a character of each party that seems to be consistent in promoting these things that work against the greater good and the constitutional republic. And in my reading of history time and again, and it's not so much that I'm anti-Democrat. I hope I'm not. I'm just trying to look at history and learn from it to say, you know, can we not see that there's a certain group of people? I mean, just like we talked about, and as you explained, whether it is these ethnic barons or the others, the other barons, you know, the wealthy barons that, you know, the robber barons themselves, that it's all about control and power and greed. And we've got to see this for what it is. If we do not, then it continues to perpetuate itself and raise its ugly head time and again. And here we are in the 21st century, and it's like we're fighting these old battles all over again, but they've been so convoluted and confusing to people that they don't know who to believe anymore.
And the results of constant, harsh labor competition is almost always it's civil unrest and at times violence. And I believe very much because of the research I've done for this book and in the past for other things as well, that some of the horrible sights that we saw, especially last year, the civil unrest in which parts of communities, usually African-American communities, were being burned down, businesses being burned out. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. There are a lot of outsiders, agitators. But it was building on the tinder of hopelessness and frustration of large communities of people in which there's very little work, very little employment. Exactly. And there's not a need. When you have massive immigration like this, the national economy does not feel like it needs the labor of these poor black citizens. But what we've seen is every part of the history, when black labor was needed, the black condition improved tremendously, and that's when the rights improved.
I'll tell you what, we've got to hit pause. We've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. We've got more from Roy Beck after this. Stay with us.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226. Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself?
Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Oh, come, oh, ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come.
We're back with you, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you along for the ride here. Boy, I'll tell you, this is quite the experience and the education. If you've wondered about how America got to where it's at today, dealing with these immigration surges, we're reviewing 200 years of history of immigration surges, employer bias, and depression of black wealth. It comes from Roy Beck's new book, Back of the Hiring Line. We're so grateful and thankful that Roy is with us for this extended period of time to break all this down for us. Roy, I want you to pick up where we left off right before break. Go ahead.
There, in the book, I describe how historians and sociologists and economists have looked at what brought the country to the 1960s, where the federal civil rights acts were passed, and we really kind of put an end to the discrimination that could happen. I mean, at least the government okayed discrimination. And what they say is that this would not have happened in the 60s, and who knows when it would have happened, if there had not been huge economic advancement first of black Americans, if the economy had not needed black labor, and that the economy, that the black labor, the black economic development could not have happened unless there had been a massive migration of descendants of slaves out of the South to the North and the West, and that happened only because and when immigration, foreign immigration, was substantially reduced. So when we look at this huge improvement in the civil rights of the descendants of slavery in this country in the 1960s, we can thank Calvin Coolidge and all those black newspapers and black leaders and the union leaders and the Protestant reformers that fought to reduce immigration back in 1924. And it just changed everything. And it changed the South, because until the Great Migration happened, the South was a kind of a, the economists describe it as a sort of a third world country within a highly developed country. Yeah. But once that change happened, the South became, as we know, the Sun Belt is where the economic vitality has been
exactly.
Decades.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So much good happened from that, and yet in 1965, Congress reopened mass immigration. So at the same time it was expanding civil rights for African Americans, it was closing the door for more economic advancement. The advancement of African Americans, of descendants of slavery, into the middle class stopped.
And
basically there has been regression ever since then.
And amazing that it really torpedoed President Johnson's war on poverty bill. I mean, here it is. We've dumped in right about probably $25-30 trillion since then. And I was asking Bob Whitson. I go, Bob, what happened? I mean, all this money, what happened to it? He goes, oh, Bill, you got to understand. He goes, the bureaucrats took 70% of that money. I go, oh, okay, I start to understand. Goes back to your greed issue that we're talking about. It's not the holistic approach. The thing about your book and this conversation, this encourages me and hopefully encourages our audience to realize that we have the wherewithal. We have the manpower, you know, to really fix this problem. And when by fixing this problem, I don't mean just to fix it. I mean to put in motion a system where people of all color can actually thrive and realize their God-given potential. That excites me, Roy. That prospect excites me.
This is a hopeful book. It's a hopeful story because we have a pattern. We have a model in the past for how to turn this around. And I say several times in the book, if the Great Wave had not started in 1880, or if the Congress had not restarted mass immigration in 1965, we would be a very, very different society today. Because just imagine if there really weren't major racial differences economically, because that's where we were headed.
Exactly. And so shortly after the Civil War, the thing that you had thousands of people, you know, who died to free the slaves. And here we are all these years later. We're still fighting that hill. And it's really absurd on its face, and it's such a disaster. And I think, maybe a kick in the gut to those that sacrificed their lives so that all men created equal could live equally and fairly under this constitutional republic. And God bless them, and God bless, Americans of all color during that period of time that fought for this. And here it is. We had this chance. We were given this window of opportunity, and we didn't take full advantage of it. And that breaks my heart.
Powerfully said. Powerfully said, Bill. It is. I've had people tell me that when they get to the last two chapters in the book, they cry. During the last two chapters. I don't know if that is a recommendation to buy the book or not, but it is. It's because I think it's a sense of lost opportunity. What you're pointing to, lost opportunity,
exactly.
And yet we don't have to be mired in the situation we're in right now. It's so easy to change the flow of immigration. It really is.
Exactly. Well, it gets back to a question that I asked in the 2020 elections. Who told you to hate somebody? You know, and this is the deal, is that you have these antithetical forces that are happy to have us at each other's throats. And there's so many, the majority of Americans, they're not prejudiced. They're racist. Blacks, I mean, people of all color, they're going, wait a minute, this is not a racist country. And that's in the face of these progressives that wants us to believe that we are, so that somehow we can be reduced to some level and some utopia that they think that they have the answer for, when the fact of the matter is that when you really look at racism on its face, we've come a long way. We have more interracial marriages than ever. I mean, look at the NBA, all these athletic teams. These people of color are making incredible amounts of money because of America. And if it was racist, they wouldn't be doing this. And this is what galls me as well, Roy, about CRT. You got these teachers telling these kids, well, you know, black is good, white is bad. And here you got all these kids from interracial marriages, and they go home and they say, honey, what did you learn from school today? Well, we learned that mom is good and dad, you're white, you're bad.
Well, the fact is that all black, white, brown, red, we're all of us together. We're part of a national community, and
yes,
we should have policies, every policy, And immigration should be no different. The immigration policy should be set based on what is good for the national community, and especially what is good for the most vulnerable members of our society. And my book is mainly about those Americans who are not do not have college degrees. And I have to give you just a couple of quick statistics. There are a fair amount of statistics in the book. But of African-Americans who do not have a college degree, and most Americans don't have college degrees, but if African-Americans don't have college degrees, who are working age, 4 out of 10 right now are not working. 4 out of 10 working age, not working. And of African-Americans who don't have a high school diploma, 2 out of every 3 are not working. Now, that is not a recipe for a harmonious society. And
exactly.
we have policies, immigration policies, that the cheap labor lobbyists for the industries and the lobbyists for the, let's just call them the immigrant ward bosses, they're pushing this, and they say those of us who want moderated immigration are pushing a racist policy. But my book, I believe, establishes a narrative that is credible to most people, that the moral high ground is to moderate immigration, that the immigration policy we have now is a form of systemic anti-black racism.
Yes. Well, the book, to me, it cries out with all kinds of obvious solutions, as far as I can see, is that we have to reinvestigate these policies that are holding people back. You know, kind of like what's happening right now in the era of COVID. We're paying people to stay home. How in the heck does that work? I mean, you're dumbing down people. You know, Roy, if you're not going to work every day, you know, you start losing a little bit of the brain cells and the activity, and your edge is going to get muted. And, you know, it's much like, what was it, one artist, one concert pianist said, you know, I have to practice the scales every day. If I don't practice the scales every day, I notice it. If I don't practice the scales every day for a week, my critics start to notice it. If I don't practice the scales every day for a month, then my audience begins to notice it. So that speaks to the idea that we have to stay sharp on our game, and we need to have policies that elevate people, that do not hold them down. And when you're paying people to stay home instead of do what's going to make them happy in being productive and going to work, and we're blunting that and interfering with that time-honored and natural instinctual process, well, then we're kind of mucking things up, aren't we?
So much agreed, and so much depends on getting people back to work, getting them in jobs, the dignity that goes
yes.
with having work, with being a productive member of society. Of course, there are some people who can't be productive, and that's why the rest of us need to be working to take care of those folks. But it should not be this low. We have a lower and lower level of workforce participation among all races in America over the last 30 years.
Mm.
And that's because we've been discouraged by the economics created by this mass immigration.
Roy Beck, I cannot thank you enough. Your book, your insight here is awesome. It is a blessing. And thank you for the time to be able to have an extended conversation about this critical topic in our country today. Name of the book, Back of the Hiring Line, A 200-Year History of Immigration Surges, Employer Bias, and the Depression of Black Wealth, will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Roy. Take care. Happy holidays to you, sir.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.